Amen. Brother Wiggum's going to come preach for us again, and this will be the second one. He'll preach one more time on a Wednesday on his things not to be ignorant of, right? And I appreciate him preaching for us. It does give me the opportunity to study a little more in depth on our Sunday night messages on standing firm in the faith. And we're covering standing firm in the fundamentals, standing firm. And so some of those areas that I'm going to be preaching on Sunday night gives me a little more opportunity to study. I appreciate Brother Wiggins.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is an honor to be here. Honor to be a part of Heritage Baptist Church. And as most of you know, my dad and my brother are in this weekend. And that's the second time my dad's been to church. And he called me today. And I was kind of surprised because my dad does not call me. And he called me today and he was telling me that he forgot something here. But he said, I just want to let you know. He said, I really enjoy being with you. He said, but I really enjoy your church. He said, that is a great church. The people were very kind. And so just for some of you that don't know, my dad's lost. My dad's never trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And for our church to be kind to him is one step toward the right direction. And you'll never know the influence you have on people that are here on Sundays or on Wednesday nights, but mainly on Sunday mornings when we have visitors. It's so important that we are kind, and that's why I love our church. We got some very kind people, and Sunday school teachers all the way across, the workers and the members of this church were very kind to my dad, and I appreciate that. And I know that God will bless that. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, there again he's talking to the church. Now, we understand two things about the church at Corinth. If you've never wrote this down in your Bible, these are good things to write down. Two things, that main things about the church at Corinth. Number one, that they were carnal. Number two, that they were confused. That is the whole rim of the church at Corinth. They were carnal and they were confused. They were confused about a lot of things. And next week we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, brethren, having not be ignorant of the afflictions that you're going through. And so he's saying here, notice again, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. I like that. And he says, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. By the way, if you go back and you study the life of the Gentiles, their past was a paganism. That was their past. They worshipped the gods of the world. They worshipped all the pagan gods that were there. And Paul's reminding them, hey, this is where you came from. By the way, it's good sometimes to look where you came from and see where God has brought you today. Amen. Not that we look back, any man having put his hand to the plow, looking back is not fit for the king. I'm not saying looking back and saying, man, I wish I could go back there. No, we look back as Christians. We remember we were alienated from God. We remember we were enemies of God, and today that we are blood-bought children of God. Now we see, he says, that verse 3, wherefore I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. By the way, I'll probably say this again in a little while. Two terms are used here. Number one, the Spirit of God. We use that a lot. And then we see the Holy Ghost. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, the difference is that if you're holiness, you say Holy Ghost. If you're Baptist, you say Holy Spirit. That was supposed to be funny, amen. Some of y'all get that later. But true biblical, basically the reason that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is that he's unseeable, right? He's unseeable. And that's the terms that are used here. We'll talk about it later. But verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Notice verse 7. If you highlight in your Bible, this is a very good verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to the another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Notice that wording, same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. There's only one true Holy Spirit of God, by the way. If you study your Bible, you'll see that, matter of fact, the Bible says, and we'll look at it later, that even in the world we live in today, there's different spirits. There's even the Bible says in 1 John that there's the spirit of the Antichrist that worketh in this world today. We know that there's demon spirits. We know that bad spirits. We see that in the time of Jesus. Whenever Jesus would say, hey, this woman has a bad spirit, an evil spirit. We see in today's world that there's a lot of spiritism going on. But I promise you, unless it matches up with the Word of God, it is not the Holy Spirit of God. And we'll see His working here in just a moment. But after we pray, we'll talk about things not to be ignorant of. We'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Father, we thank You. We love You tonight. And Lord, we are so honored to be in Your house and, God, to be underneath Your Word and Your power tonight. And Father, I just pray, God, that You bless, Lord, as we preach. And Lord, again tonight, would You be with the bandies, God, just, Lord, just right where they're at right now, God, just move in and, Lord, be in the midst of them with comfort. And God, I just pray You give grace and mercy. And Father, let them know that we love them. And God, we know that You love them. And Father, we thank You for their example. And Lord, we just again ask that You be with us now as we study Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at a twofold purpose tonight as kind of an introduction, a twofold purpose of the Holy Spirit, I think before you ever understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you have to understand the Holy Spirit. You have to understand His statement, His purpose in this world. If you can kind of mesh it up into two things. Number one, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for our growth. That's why He's in our life. That's why we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so we'll grow in the Lord. He enlightens us, and we'll see this here in a little bit in John. But second of all, for others' good. The Holy Spirit comes into this world to convict people of law, that they're lost, that there is a law that they're breaking in, that Jesus Christ is the only way. But also, He works through us for the good of others also. And so, if you're thinking tonight, well, how can I do the work of the Lord? How can I serve the Lord? It's only through the Holy Spirit of God working through us for the good of others and for the growth of us. So I want to give you some things tonight. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. But I want you to look back at verse 1, if you will. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Notice that word gifts is the same term that's used throughout the New Testament, even to talk about, when we talk about salvation is a gift of God. Well, the Spirit, notice what He said, the spiritual gifts, guess what a gift is? It's something that's given free. A lot of people in the world today think they have to work for these gifts of the Holy Spirit. You ever met those people? I was raised in an Assembly of God church, and there was a lot of talk about the Spirit, but it never matched up with the Bible. I went to church for the entertainment. I knew that somebody was going to get slain in the Spirit. I enjoyed it. I loved it. It was fun. It was better going to Six Flags as a kid. And you knew somebody was going to fall out on the ground and start talking this jibber-jabber. And man, it was fun. As a little kid, I would sit there and go, I like this. But as I grew up and got saved, amen, I realized that that did not match up with the Bible. Now, as you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, Paul deals with the Spirit of God. He deals with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost that is in the church, that's in the believer, that indwells us. And the Corinthians were just confused about it. But you know what's sad? We're still confused in the 21st century about the Holy Spirit of God. In most churches is that we grab a verse here, we grab a verse here, and we made doctrine off of just a couple things that we grab out of the Bible that matches up the way we feel. And if you listen at anybody that normally preaches on the Holy Spirit, it comes down to an experience. I talk to those people all the time, and I'm sure you have too. Well, I was in church one day, and oh, I just felt it coming over me. I love that, amen. Oh, I just felt it coming over me, and all of a sudden I just began to move, and I had no control over myself and the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen to me, and we'll see this here in a little bit. The Spirit of God does not work like that. Amen. You know why? Because if it, and I'll get on it in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what does, when we look at the word gift if you study it in the Webster's Dictionary, it means qualification of endowment, or it means to provide with personal resources or qualities. That's the gift that the Holy Spirit gives us through the Godhead. And we are endued with power, as the Bible says. Now, let's look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I feel like I'm having trouble getting started tonight. It's the rain. Blame it on the rain. John chapter 16, we'll notice verses 7 through verse 15. Verse 15. Now, verses 7 through 11 talk about the lost world and the Holy Spirit's role in that. Verses 12 through 15 talk about the Spirit's role in the believer. So verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," notice the capital C, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come..." By the way, the Holy Spirit's not an it. He is the third person of the Godhead, and it's not an it. It drives me crazy to hear people, "Oh, it. No, He's a living, breathing being of God, and don't degrade Him like that. And notice it says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more." Verse 11, "Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." Now verse 12, it says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He..." Now notice the things that He's going to do here. It says, He, number one, will guide you into all truth. That's what we need to know tonight, that the Spirit of God came into this world and came into the believer to do what? To guide us into all truth. Now notice the second one. This is the one that nobody likes, because we like to blame the Holy Spirit for letting us do things. It says, "For He shall not speak of Himself." Anything that the Holy Spirit does in your life, He does not want the credit. And He does not want you to get the credit. You realize that only glory goes to one person, and that's God Almighty. Even the Holy Spirit, if He held up a sign, it would always have an arrow pointing up to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a lot of people today, I was raised in the Assembly of God movement, and if we knew that whenever the song service got started, we knew somebody was going to stand up. And they were going to start talking about tying a tie. Y'all know what that is? I can tie a tie. You know, they're speaking in tongues. And boy, we'd wait on it. And then somebody would stand up back over there, and they would say, "The interpretation of that is that that lady just donated $1 million to the church." I never heard nobody say that. And it was just something that, you know, what was happening is that person was standing up and saying, "I'm more spiritual than everybody else here." And most of the time it was a lady that was doing it in the church. And she was like, "Hey, look over here," because they didn't stand up and go, "La, la, la." No, it was, they had to have the whole pew to themselves. They had to get everybody's attention. It was like they were working for an airport. Landing a plane. And boy, they get... they come down the aisle. And boy, my wife got healed one time by one of them. She was real happy that day. They laid hands on her and tried to get her to fall down. My wife's looking at them like, "If you don't take your hand off of me..." My wife, you have to ask her about that later. But what it is that they want the credit. They want to say, "Hey, Benny Hinn's not doing it because he's being humble. And he's not doing it because he's Spirit-filled. He's doing it because he wants the glory." And the Holy Spirit never comes and wants the glory. Neither does He want us to get the glory. Notice the next thing. It says that, "But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." He's going to guide you. Verse 14. "He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you." Basically, if you think about this, the Holy Spirit's kind of the one that comes and indwells us and guides us and shows us. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you read through your Bible 100 times? Or you heard the message 100 times of the prodigal son, and all of a sudden the light bulb comes on? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Whenever you're reading through those scriptures and you go, "Man, I've read this time and time again, but now it's like a light's being shone on it." And the Holy Spirit's opening our eyes in enlightenment and showing us some things that we need to see. We see that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And can I say that the Holy Spirit will never speak against God and will never lift up Himself when He's indwelled in you? Now let me give you some things tonight. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. I want you to notice again, if you will, verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understanding, I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." That can't happen. That can't happen. Why? Because a person that is controlled by the Spirit of God, remember, is that they, first of all, that they're saved. Second of all, a person that is controlled by the Spirit of God is going to have a relationship and a fellowship with Christ like none other. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is kind of, if you could picture tonight, He has a rope on our life and He's pulling us closer and closer to Christ. You know, I've said this time and time again, that the Holy Spirit's like a pacemaker. He realizes when your heart's out of rhythm, and what does He do? He shocks you back into rhythm. In the rhythm of what, though? In the rhythm with the Lord God, in the rhythm of the will of God, and the Holy Spirit guiding us. But notice what He says in verse 4. He says, "Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now, what are we talking about gifts? You say, "Preacher, I've got the gift of healing." And I would mash my little butt and go, wrong. You say, "Well, I got the gift of tongues." I say, wrong. You say, "Wait a minute. Nobody ever says I have the gift of meekness." You never meet those people. Why? Because there's no glory in that. You know, the little lady sitting in the back that's so meek and mild and she's a prayer warrior, you know, she doesn't want any credit. She doesn't want the gift card. She doesn't want the basket. She just wants to serve her God and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say that lady's going to be rewarded for that gift that God's given her? And by the way, everybody has a gift. Everybody. Some people don't look for it. That's why they don't know what it is. Like, well, and a lot of times, too, we want the gift that's got the glory with it, right? We're like, well, you know, it's like we got a list. And we go down it. We start with all the stuff that's popular. Or the stuff, I want to have the gift of pastoring because I get to tell everybody what to do. And pretty soon you mark that one off your list. I marked that one off my list, too, amen. You say, "Well, I've got the gift of singing. I've got the gift of whatever it is that the Holy Spirit can work through you." But can I say that whatever it is, the diversity of the gifts, that it's one Spirit that gives them to us all. And they're for our benefit and for our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can give Him glory. Notice the next verse, if you will. Verse 5 says, "And there are differences of administrations." Now, administrations, as we think about administration, we think about the application of these gifts. We think about that application. Notice again what he says. He says, "And differences of administrations, but the same Lord." Now, he's going to talk about the whole Godhead here. But notice what he says. He says that there's differences of administration, how we apply it to our life. The application that we have. You know what? Some people can apply things very good and some people can't. I'm one of those that has trouble applying things sometimes. You know, it's one thing that God gives you a gift, but it's another thing you got to use it. What good is if you have a gift that God has given you, and I'm not just talking about the gift of singing or whatever it may be. You know what? There's so many gifts that we could talk about. But I think, what good is it if we're not going to use it? You know, what would our church be like, and I'm sure Pastor would agree with me, what would our church be like if everybody used their God-given abilities here at Heritage Baptist Church? That would be amazing. That would just be amazing. You know, some people have the gift of administration and the gift of, you know, me and Brother Doyce was building the trebuchet out there, and it was amazing. Brother Doyce said, I'll draw it up for you. I was like, amen, I don't draw nothing up. I just start building and screw it in, take it off, remeasure, recut. And Brother Doyce came to me and gave me the specs of it. I mean, it was laid out perfect, Brother Clark. It was something like you would have gave me. And I mean, it was. He's like, here's how many 2x4s you need. Here's how many bolts you're going to need. Here's how long this needs to be. And I was thinking, thank God for that gift that He's using for the Lord. You know what? Because we were able to build that thing in like a day versus if I would have done it, it would have took me 2 weeks. And then it wouldn't have worked anyway. And you know what? I thank God for that. I'm glad Brother Clark uses his gift of rodeoing. Amen? Didn't we have a great time Sunday? And my dad said, man, that was great. I've never seen that at a church. You know, you think about people that have a gift and don't use it. You've got to apply it in your life. What are we if we study our Bible? And what is it if you've got a King James Bible if you don't learn it? You know, I hear people all the time, I'm a King James Bible man. Hey, I am too, but if you don't apply it, it don't matter what Bible you got. You can go get a kid's picture Bible, and it ain't going to do you no good unless you apply it into your life. And the Holy Spirit has given all of us some special gift that you are unique to use it. And if we don't use it, then God help us that we're going to just sit on something that God has given us so freely. It's kind of like salvation. God didn't give us salvation to, as Brother Wido says, sit, sour, and soak. He gave us so we can go and tell others about Jesus Christ. We see also, look at verse 7. Notice what he says, or verse 6. He says, and there are diversities of operations, how they're used, but it is the same God which worketh in all. Have you noticed that he used all three of the Godhead, the Spirit, same Lord, the same God? It's the Godhead that gives us these abilities that we have. You know, I wish today that I would have got saved earlier. I got saved when I was 16 years old. But it would have been great if I would have got saved earlier. You know, wouldn't you agree? Don't you wish you could have got saved earlier and known what you know now then? And I wouldn't have wasted all the years using my talents and using the gifts that God's given me on the worldly stuff. Well, wouldn't it be good if we all would get a hold of this tonight and say, you know what, it's our application of how we use these gifts. And we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But notice what it says here again in verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. And that's what's shown. You ever met people you just knew that they were saved? I mean, let's be honest. It don't take long to be around people like Brother Bandy and realize that he's a blood-washed child of God. It's not long after you find out that he just loves the Lord, loves his wife, and loves his church. You think, how can that be? Is Brother Bandy just a good guy and that's just how it works? No, that's the Spirit of God in his life. And man, you just think about just the kindness and the meekness of their family and think about how God has blessed them. And I think about my life and how God's blessed me. And listen to me tonight. Notice this. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit money-wise? No, to profit heaven-wise. Kingdom-wise. We should live as if we're going to heaven today. Would you live different if you knew that you were going to die in the morning? I believe you would. I believe I would. If you knew for sure, I said, you know what, at 8 o'clock in the morning, your number is going to be pulled and you're going to pass from this world. You know what, I don't think you'd go home tonight and turn the TV on and sit around and eat popcorn all night. Amen? I'd be going to Joe's Craft Shack, amen? And I'd pass out tracts while I was there, amen? And when they get up there to do their little dancing thing, I get up there with my Bible and try to preach to them. Amen? I mean, you think about how you would live dear, but how do we profit with all? By the Spirit of God. Notice verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. Notice this. He starts talking about all the things. The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The same Spirit. He goes through all this. But I think about this. We talk about this a lot. As a matter of fact, chapter 13 and chapter 14 talk about speaking in tongues. And basically, if you think about somebody that says they have the gift of tongues, they're outdated. They really are, because that's done away with. There are certain things, and I'll talk about that. I need to get on into this. Notice this. I want you to notice. I got to keep going. Three things tonight, very quickly. Number one, there's a concern differences. All gifts have a concern difference. There's a good spirit, there's a bad spirit. Verses 1 and 2 tells us that he tells them, remember where you were. You were with the other spirits. You were with the dumb idols, the spirit of the world that lived inside of you. Now your spirit has been quickened. You've been made alive. You have a live spirit. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you now. And by the way, that the difference between the bad spirits of the world and the Spirit of God is one thing. The good Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will always match up with this. I know if you've been a Christian very long, you've heard people say, now I know that this is probably not right, but I feel my spirit within me want me to do this. And it's something contrary to the Word of God. And basically you start scratching your head wondering, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, It's not the Spirit of God telling you what to do. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. Just as Satan has a duplicate of everything else and a counterfeit of everything, he has a counterfeit spirit that comes and tries to trick you and the spirit of the world and all this. Hey, listen, I know that you can't be possessed with all these things because you're saved, but I can say this, that the spirit of this world can have influence on your life. And if you're not careful, is that you better make sure that it matches up with the Word of God to make sure that it is the Spirit of God. Now, the second thing, that all these gifts have a common denominator. What are they? It's the Godhead. It's the Word. It's Jesus Christ. It's God our Father. The Holy Spirit. We all have a common denominator in our gifts that the Lord gives us. But I'll give you the last thing. We also see there's certain dispensation. There's certain things that have passed on. By the way, if you study the Bible and you study even here in Corinthians, is that he's talking about that there's a time when the Word of God's going to be complete, that these things are going to be done, prophecy's done. Why? We have all the prophecy we need right here. We have the complete Word of God. Before they needed the prophecy. Why? Because they didn't have the complete Word of God. Before they needed the tongues. Why? To spread the six different nationalities in the book of Acts that needed those tongues. Why? So they could stand up and preach the Word of God. And Peter could stand up and speak in one tongue. And all of the other people heard in their own language. And they understood it. Could you imagine if there were 16 different nationalities here and one spoke Spanish, one spoke Portuguese, and they didn't understand English, but I got up tonight and I began to preach the Word of God, and guess what? They understood in their own language. That's what happened in the book of Acts. That's it. That is the tongues that they're talking about. And Paul goes on and say, hey, listen, it's not an utterance that nobody can understand, because why? He says the unbelievers sitting out there are going to think you're crazy. There's a time when the tongues have passed on. That was for a time that God was trying to take the gospel and to propagate it into the world. We don't need that no more. We don't need the prophecy anymore. Why? Because we have all the prophecy. We have everything we need. But listen to me tonight, is that there are some things that we are, I believe the world is ignorant of today. Why? Because the world wants something that's tangible. Let's just say that. The world wants something that's tangible. We want some kind of spirituality and religion that we can see and feel. That's why that most religions today, they have statues. Why? They want to see something. Or they have a cross with something on. Or they have this. Or they have whatever it is. They want something that is tangible. But can I say is that we live by faith as Christians. We must allow the Spirit of God to work in our life. To work in our life. So I was looking at the Scripture today and I began to study this. I was looking at verse 7 and what just stuck out to me. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Notice that, to every man, to the believer. We're indwelled by the Spirit of God. Or the manifestation of the Spirit's in the world. But as you think about the believer, notice this, to profit with all. To profit with all. I begin to think about this. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I've been saved since I was 16. And I begin to think about this. What has been shown through my life to show that I'm a Spirit-filled Christian? Is my attitude right? Man, that's where it gets me. Oh, I wish you could have a bad attitude and be right with God, but I'm sorry, you can't. Amen. Uh-huh, nod your little heads, amen. I wish my attitude was better. I hope that when people see me, and you know what, don't you hate when you go to somewhere and you're kind of rude to somebody, then you see them as a visitor in church on Sunday, you go, ah. I never will forget somebody here at the church, I'm not going to say their name, was coming to church and somebody in front of him was going real slow and he was honking the horn, you know, wanting to get around him. And guess where they pulled in at? Right here. You know, we have to be careful. To make sure the Spirit of God's, you say, what's the filling of the Holy Spirit? The filling of the Holy Spirit is easy to understand. It's the emptying of you and Him having total control of your life. The Bible gives the analogy of how alcohol takes over your life. And it controls your life. It controls your emotions. It controls what you do. That's the way we ought to be with the Holy Spirit. He ought to control what we do, control what we say, control what we think. You know what? I want to live a Spirit-filled life, and I hope you do too. I hope that your desire is to use the gifts that God has given you. And I know I rushed through this tonight, but I hope you'll go back and study chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, and understand what the Spirit of God's really trying to do and what His purpose for us is. Again, in verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." John Phillips said this, "Ignorance is the mother of all kinds of mischief." Think about that. Ignorance is the mother of all kinds of mischief. Think about that tonight, because if you are ignorant about something or unlearned about something, you'll believe anything that anybody tells you. That's why people can turn on the TV today and these people on TV and they'll go, "Oh yeah, I believe that." But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the Spirit of God. Make sure that your life lines up with the Word of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You. We love You. Lord, tonight I pray, God, that You would help us, and Lord, help us to understand the true meaning of the Holy Spirit and, Lord, what He came here to do and to work in lives and convict sinners of their lostness. But Lord, as a Christian tonight, realize that He's given us all a special gift, Lord, that we can use for Your glory, for Your honor. Lord, help us to look down inside our heart and see what it is, God, that we can use, Lord, as instruments of righteousness in Your hand. Lord, that You would help us to, Lord, just use what You've given us. And Father, not be just a hearer of Your Word, but a doer of Your Word. Father, I ask You to bless the invitation now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jesus.